You're listening to the Divorce and Your Money Show, the number one show on iTunes discussing the financial issues in divorce. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Be sure to visit us at divorceandyourmoney.com. Now, today we have a special interview with a single father named Dave Taylor. He runs a great blog called Go Fatherhood. Before I get to the interview, I just want to give you a brief background as to why I did this one. Is if you'll notice that many of the guests that we've had on the show are women, which is great, but sometimes I hear from the fathers going through the process that they feel like they get left out. And Dave is a special guy who got divorced a long time ago and has some great experiences and advice that he can share as a single father who's gone through the divorce process. So for all the fathers out there and for the women listening too, there's some great advice that you get to hear from a man's perspective. But for the guys out there, this episode is for you. So listen to this interview with Dave Taylor. So today I have on the show Dave Taylor, a single dad and dad blogger. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. It's nice to be here.
So before we jump in, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your background, your blog, your divorce, and a little bit about what you do today? Kind of set the stage for us.
All right. So I was born. Now, it might be too far back. Well, I'll just say that like every single person who goes to the altar, the last thing in the world I ever imagined was that I would have children and be divorced. But my ex and I, we met basically just before grad school, and then we went to grad school together at Purdue and then moved to the San Francisco Bay Area and had a couple of kids and then moved to Colorado, had a third child, and really everything was just bumpy on the journey. There were times when it was good, but there were definitely times when it was challenging. And I will be very candid, adding children to the mix adds a way huge amount of stress. And I think having babies and newborns in particular is really, really challenging on a relationship. And so after much not happy times, we did the divorce thing. And that was actually, we're just shy of 9 years ago, and that was super tough. And, you know, we have three children together, and now my children are 20 as of yesterday and 16 and 12. And I still live in Colorado, as does my ex. And my 12-year-old actually now lives with me full time. So that's something that's been relatively new in the last few months. Professionally, I've been really blessed to be able to work for myself, and I'm very entrepreneurial. So I always have 50 things going on. One of the things that has kept putting food on the table is I have a tech Q&A site called Ask Dave Taylor. And people know me well for all of my tech and consumer electronics work. I've been a judge at the Consumer Electronics Show, all sorts of stuff. It's, you know, we have a crazy amount of technology in the house. And that's been, you know, all really a blessing, because instead of having to go into work at 8:30 in the morning and coming home exhausted at 6 p.m. every day, which is really a grind, I've been able to sort of weave my work hours into whatever else was going on with the family.
That's a great introduction. And so you've had the hindsight now of about 9 years of being divorced. As a parent, as you look back on that time, what do you find challenging? And in particular, what's kind of surprised you from a parenting perspective that you didn't necessarily expect looking at the time?
I think the biggest thing is that children are very resilient. And I think that as parents, we have a huge amount of guilt and disappointment over divorce, you know, and legitimately so, whether you're the one who decided to, you know, call it or whether it was the other party, there's a lot of challenges around divorce. And I think that when we went, you know, separated and we're living in different houses and then finalized our divorce and everything, I felt like I was really ruining my children's lives. And I felt like nothing I could do could make up for that. And over the years, I've gotten a lot of wisdom that that really is inaccurate, and that what children really need most of all to be able to survive all this craziness is they just need loving parents. They just need parents that especially don't down talk or criticize the other parent and don't put their kids in the middle of things. But if you can just really be present, you know, it actually can be a huge improvement on your relationship, particularly for a man, because I think that whether we are into the 21st century or not, a lot of couples, it's really the mom who is the nurturer and spends much more time with the children. And, you know, that's not good or bad, but from a male perspective, the opportunity to have one-on-one time with your children, whether you were prepared for it or not, can be a huge benefit, and it can really help you grow a stronger and deeper relationship with your children.
I think that's great. And you brought up a lot of things when you spoke about your answer. And for one is, how has your relationship with your ex evolved over the years? Has it gotten easier, more complicated, harder? How has that, how you kind of navigated that process?
Well, I'd like to report that it's super easy and we get along awesomely and we like go out for dinner. But the fact is that we started out pretty acrimonious, and rather to my huge disappointment, it hasn't really mellowed out very much. I think that there's still a lot of hurt in each of us, and a lot of, I guess, maybe more on her side, a lot of anger. And, you know, it's to the point where with my one of my children, we work with a therapist with him, and my ex won't be on a phone call with me and the therapist. She's just like, I don't care. I don't want to be on the same phone. And it's just like, this is 10 years after we moved into separate houses. But, you know, the passion, the emotion is still very deep. And we are convivial. We can sit next to each other at a school concert, but that's about as far as it goes.
How do you navigate what's in the best interest for the kids between the two of you?
Well, that could be tough, but I think that the thing that I try to keep in mind, and I can really only speak for myself, and that's really all I should anyway, but what I try to keep in mind is that both of us have their best interests at heart. Both of us adore our children. Both of us are very devoted parents. Both of us, our children are very front and center. And how we get from here to there, we differ on. And so, you know, one of the things that I do, for example, is I will let her be the leader when it comes to medical related decisions, because she has more experience and more training in that area. But when it comes to behavioral things, I generally am the one to propose how we should do things and then let her sort of fine tune it. So an example is our 12-year-old just this week said, "Hey, Dad, how old do I have to be before I can start dating?" To which my response of 20 didn't go across very well. But, you know, that's a situation where I'll write up an email saying, here's my thoughts. Here's like four basic rules we can have. What do you think? And then my ex can fine tune it. And then that generally seems to be something that works well.
And if we were to rewind the clock just a little bit, how did you describe or what advice do you have for people who are going through the divorce to describe what's happening to their kid and, you know, how to maintain that loving and nurturing that they need?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, just to say what I think you might think is obvious, but your kids totally don't get, which is it's not their fault. And let's be, you know, really clear, even if it is their fault, even if one of your kids is a massive pain in the butt or absolutely polarizes the family or pushes you away, you still can't say it's their fault, because there are certain words or phrases that you can say to a child that they'll remember for the rest of their life. And I think that the most important thing is to position the divorce as something between the adults, and that ideally, even if they are a monster, to say that, you know, you and mommy or you and daddy, you both, you know, really love the kids, and it's just, you're not happy together. And so you're going to try to figure something else out. And it's not the kids' fault. And, you know, everyone still loves you. And, you know, it's going to be hard for everyone. And we all just need to try to get through it together.
I think that's great advice. And shifting gears a little bit, as a single father, Do you feel that there are any sort of societal expectations or expectations from other parents that would be worth discussing and amongst for the group?
I will say that I do think that the deck is stacked against fathers, and particularly when you're a single parent, is that, you know, our culture already has, like, moms are goddesses and they're superheroes. And, you know, you watch TV, every ad, everything's all about how wonderful moms are and how hard it is to be a mom. And then dads, not completely, but quite often, are basically portrayed as the bonus child or as another incompetent idiot, you know, where it's like, you can't even put a diaper on, ha ha ha. And the problem is that then seeps into culture and seeps into people's expectations. And I have a very distinct memory of walking into kindergarten to pick up my daughter. And, you know, it was the end of the day. I walked in to pick her up. And it was like walking into a saloon in an old Western where suddenly everyone went quiet and they all just looked at me. Because, of course, it was all moms. And they were all nattering away about yoga and exercise and fashion. And I don't know what the heck they were talking about. They might have been talking about the stock market. But I walk in. I'm the only man in the entire building because, of course, all the teachers were also female. And it just went silent. And there are women where they're just like, why are you here? Is mom unavailable? So you're here as a substitute? You know, and it was just like, no, actually, I'm a parent, too. And this is what I do. And it took a couple of weeks for them to just sort of say, oh, you're just one of us. You know, you're just a parent. And I think that that has occurred again and again. I'm in the parent-teacher association, basically, at my kid's school. I'm the only dad in that organization. So there are conversations where it's just like, you really look at the world differently. And all I'm going to do is sit here quietly and maybe check my iPhone.
No, I can understand where you're coming from. And does that same attitude extend to your interpersonal relationships? Because, you know, you're young and, of course, you have life goes on. And so when it comes to dating or potential other partners, have you had any particular challenges in that arena?
Probably the biggest challenge is just logistical. It's just, you know, when do you get this schedule where you can actually go out and not need babysitters or even have the option of babysitters? And, you know, when I've been going out with single mom, then it gets humorous where it's like once a month we can figure out 4 hours to get together sort of thing. But yeah, for the most part, I have to say that being a very active and participatory dad, I get a lot of props, a lot of kudos from other parents. And there's a lot of guys that talk to me and, you know, really express the wish that they were more involved. And a lot of moms that just seem to think that I'm like that one great dad that shows how slacker all the other dads are. So sorry, guys.
And for the people who are, most of the audience is in the early stages or late stages of divorce, and they have a lot of different things that they're considering and thinking about. And with the power of hindsight, when someone is thinking about custody and you brought up scheduling, are there certain questions or considerations that maybe you didn't think about at the time or that you should have thought more about that you realize in retrospect?
I think maybe the biggest thing I'll say is, and you know, maybe this is very apropos for you being an attorney, is get in writing what you want the schedule to be, but then be flexible if for that day or that week or that month, it needs to be something different. And I know that there's, you know, sort of precedent of what actually occurs. And I remember the phase of time where I was logging every single day that I had my children so that if we ever ended up back in court, I could say, actually, I had my kids 54% of the time in the last 3 months. But there are times when, you know, your kids just need their mama. Or your kids really just need some dad time or maybe away from that parent time. And I think having some level of flexibility and some level of being able to change your schedule to meet needs for either the children or a parent is really, really important. But the caveat on that is that we've also learned by maybe a lot of mediocre experiences that having a rigid schedule still works better for the kids because then, you know, for them to not know where they're going to lay their head down and sleep tonight is really, really hard on a child.
I think that's Very good advice. And I want to ask a nitty-gritty question related to that. On your day-to-day, how do you communicate with your spouse in meeting and keeping schedules and expenses and all of those things organized? Do you just kind of have your system, or have you also tried maybe being a technologist, maybe one of the software solutions that are out there as well?
Now, you used a word in that sentence I don't understand, the word spouse. I don't have a spouse.
I'm sorry, ex-spouse, my apologies.
We're assuming you're talking about my ex-spouse.
Yes.
Then we've had to sort of ratchet it back on communications to the point where if we see each other, there's an unspoken agreement. We won't talk about anything at all that is potentially incendiary. I mean, even to the point of like, you know, oh, wait, you're taking them to what doctor for what reason? You know, we won't even have that conversation. And we text message, but text messages are 99% just logistics, as in, I didn't have a chance to get lunch. Is there any way you could drop lunch off? And then all the real communication is via email. And I mean, I spend a lot of my time doing email anyway, professionally, so I'm very comfortable in that space. And there are times when that email gets very snippy. And there have been a couple of times in the last, maybe like once or twice a year, where we just really butt heads. And then my suggestion invariably is for us to go ahead and use the court-appointed mediator to try to address the situation. And we rarely end up having to actually do that. But that's my way of just sort of raising a flag and saying, I don't want to fight. I don't want to go through this. In fact, you know, I don't like fighting at all. And I hear you have your perspective and I clearly have mine. One of us needs to compromise. And, you know, we need to figure this out.
It's always a challenge, and, you know, it doesn't end after the divorce. And it sounds like you still have a lot that's going on that you have to navigate, both with the kids and your ex-spouse. And it's good to get a little bit of insight from someone who's been through this process and still navigates the day-to-day challenges, and hearing from someone 9 years later and what they still experience. And it's very valuable from a male's perspective. For the people who want to get more information from you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
So I would say probably the best channel is to go through my Go Fatherhood blog, which is at gofatherhood.com. And I'd encourage you to check out what I write about. I don't write about my day-to-day experiences with my children. I write about parenting. And the reason for that is a lot for privacy issues. So if you were to go back 9 years on my blog, you would not see very many, if any, articles about the divorce or the divorce process. I have absolute horror stories that I've never shared publicly because it's not appropriate, in my opinion. But on that site, there's a contact form, and that's probably the easiest way. But you can also find me on Twitter as Dave Taylor.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for sharing some of your experiences and opening up to us on the show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And if I can just sort of close with a closing thought, is my advice, my desire for every divorcing parent and every divorced parent is always take the high road. Always try to be the person you wish the other person was also being. So don't badmouth your ex, you know, don't joke with your kids about how your ex isn't good at this or isn't good at that. Really just try to be a really positive person, because it does pay off in the long run.
Before you go, I want to make sure you don't miss some really important information. It's all available at divorceandyourmoney.com. The first thing you do is make sure you sign up for the email list. I will send you exclusive information and updates that I don't put anywhere else. The next thing you should do is you should check out my new course. It's called Divorce 101, Steps to Take Before Divorce. If you're on the website, click the course button, and it is everything you need to know before getting an attorney. Just by going through this course, it will save you thousands of dollars and potentially save you months of time. as you go through the divorce process. And the people who've taken this course love it. It has so much information packed into about an hour and a half. It has lots of worksheets and other info to help you stay on target as you go through this process. And it includes a copy of my book, Divorce and Your Money, The No-Nonsense Guide. And on top of that, if you complete the course, it includes a discount on future one-on-one coaching services when you include the course. And just for the podcast listeners, I'm going to give you a special discount. So if you go to the courses page and when you check out, it's going to ask you for a coupon code. In that box, type in the word podcast and you're going to get a nice discount on the course. Also, as I mentioned, is you should consider getting one-on-one coaching. Look, I work with people all over the United States, whether you're in California, Texas, New York, Chicago, Miami, it doesn't matter where you are in the country. Sometimes we work on relatively simple or straightforward issues, and sometimes it's more complicated. You know, I work with people on things like, how do you fill out the financial affidavit or statement of net worth, depending on where you are in the country? Sometimes we'll discuss, well, how should I keep a specific asset? Should I keep this investment account, or maybe I should give up something else? Can I afford to stay in my home? Should I? Or should I get something else instead? Some people want to say, hey, you know what? Before I sign on the dotted line, is this settlement proposal really a good deal? Am I going to be set up not just for tomorrow, but for the rest of my life? So these are things that we can discuss on our one-on-one coaching sessions. We do them in person, by phone, or online, depending upon your needs. It's all strictly confidential. All you have to do is click on the coaching tab, fill out a short form, and we will have a discussion about your needs. Lastly, subscribe to the show and you'll get new episodes automatically. Now, if you're on iTunes, leave a review, which helps other people discover this information. If you know someone else who's thinking about divorce, maybe in the early stages of the process, or just has some information that you want to share with them, just send them a link to the show. And this is a great way to help other people. I'm your host, Sean Lehman, MBA and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. Thank you for listening.